we find that women tend to defer care. They convince themselves that the symptoms aren't really a big deal, that they're just going to go away. But up at the hospital, we are always so happy when a woman comes in to get checked out. And we get to say, hey, no, you're fine. Everything's great. So much better to come in and be seen and be told you're doing great than not come into the hospital and have more severe consequences occur because of that.
Life is complicated, but getting healthy doesn't have to be. Welcome to Enlo Medical Center's podcast, Health Matters. I'm your host, Daniela Contreras. Listen to experts and everyday people share real stories and resources to improve our health and well-being.
High blood pressure or hypertension is very common. In the United States, one in every 12 to 17 pregnancies experience high blood pressure in people ages 20 to 44, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Hypertension disorders during pregnancy are also the second leading cause of maternal deaths worldwide, only after hemorrhage. Treating this condition is very important, not only during pregnancy, but also before and after. Hello, everyone. I'm Daniela Contreras. I'm here with JC Kruger, charge nurse at Enlo's Mother and Baby Care Center, to talk about this important topic. Thank you, Jesse, for being here today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Can we begin with what is high blood pressure and why is it a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I can start just to kind of describe what blood pressure is, when we're talking about blood pressure, we're literally talking about the pressure of blood against the arteries in your body. So your body has the system of tubes, arteries and veins, and they create the pathways where blood's going. So arteries are what's carrying your oxygenated blood. Your heart's going to pump, push the blood through. The veins carry the deoxygenated blood. It's really fantastic system that's moving everything. So with high blood pressure, also known as hypertension, that's what women are going to hear a lot. This is when there's a higher pressure against those arteries than your body can comfortably maintain. So over time with high blood pressure, we start to see severe damage to not only the arteries, but eventually you see it to the rest of the body as well.
And can you explain to us what does the high blood pressure numbers mean, or what do they mean in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about blood pressure, we're talking about two numbers and two specific things with that. So the first number is what we call systolic pressure. This number is talking about the pressure in the arteries when your heart beats, when it's doing the work. And then the second number, we call that diastolic pressure. This number is referring to the pressure in the arteries and the heart is at rest. So it's between beats. You'll see these numbers next to each other, usually separated by a slash, and you'll hear one number before the other. So systolic before diastolic, you'll usually hear something like 110 over 170. And the normal range for blood pressure, that tells us as providers that your body is not working harder than it should. So 120 over 80, that's kind of like the key number. Anything under that, that's what we want to see for a healthy blood pressure range. And blood pressure does come in ranges. So a normal healthy range would be anything from 100 to 120 over 60 to 80.
And how can high blood pressure affect the mother and the baby or the fetus?
So during pregnancy, we know that mom's body is working very hard to keep her body safe, to keep baby safe, and make sure the baby's getting what it needs. So nutrients, oxygen. When the blood pressure is too high, that process in the body is becoming disrupted, and that can ultimately be very dangerous for both mom and baby. For mom, we can see a blood pressure disorder called preeclampsia, sometimes progresses to eclampsia. Preeclampsia is a very high blood pressure in a woman that's causing other issues that we're seeing in her body. So eclampsia is an extension of preeclampsia. It has gotten so bad the mom has had a seizure due to this high blood pressure. We know that women with high blood pressure, they're at risk for stroke. They're at risk for multiple other injuries to the organs in their body. So their heart, their brain, their kidneys, their eyes, other major organs as well. The woman's placenta could start to detach from her uterine wall. This is called placental abruption. And as you can imagine, this is a pretty dangerous situation. It can be very life-threatening for both mom and baby. Moms who experience high blood pressure in pregnancy, they're also at risk for future heart damage for the rest of their life. Unfortunately. And because delivery can help fix blood pressure related issues, induction is very common. And induction doesn't come without risk. With induction, we're essentially asking the body to do something it might not be ready to do. And in these cases, it's very worthwhile. The benefit outweighs the risk, but it is still something that we want to consider. And induction in these cases, we're usually doing it
for preterm babies. And preterm to us means pregnancy before 37 weeks. Mm-hmm. So early delivery is going to be a problem for baby for a couple of reasons. First, the high blood pressure will cause some damage with the placenta. And the placenta is the organ that's sitting in the uterus, and this is what's help filtering all of the oxygen, all of the nutrients to baby. So if the placenta is damaged, that process is going to be disrupted, and baby is not going to get everything he or she needs. So you have these babies that are a little bit restricted in growth in terms of what they've been able to get. And babies in the situation, so not only are they not reaching their full potential, but when they're born, we're also seeing that they have struggles later on as well.
Wow, so it's very serious.
Yeah.
From what I understand, there are different types of high blood pressure. Can you discuss what these different types are?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about blood pressure, specifically during pregnancy, we like to put them into four different categories. We have chronic hypertension, gestational hypertension, we have preeclampsia, and get ready for this one, we have chronic hypertension with superimposed preeclampsia. But I know that although that sounds kind of like mumbo jumbo, but I'll explain the different categories.
Please.
For chronic hypertension, that's what we're calling high blood pressure in a woman that she either has before she gets pregnant or it develops sometime in the first 20 weeks of pregnancy. This is why it's so important for women to get early prenatal care. So her doctor, her midwife knows what her vital signs are, like her blood pressure. So if the numbers are high, then we can make sure her provider is treating her appropriately. And then gestational hypertension, this is high blood pressure that we see develop after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
It's very similar to chronic hypertension in terms of wanting to make sure we're keeping on top of the high blood pressure. We know that women who have chronic hypertension have gestational hypertension. They are more likely to develop preeclampsia later in pregnancy.
Wow.
So preeclampsia is high blood pressure that's developing in the body after 20 weeks of pregnancy, just like gestational hypertension, but we're starting to see signs of damage. One of the common things that providers will look for is protein in the urine. This can be a sign that preeclampsia is developing. So it's very common when women go to their prenatal appointments, they'll have their urine, they'll do urine collection regularly because this is one of the signs that they're looking for. And then finally, the chronic hypertension with superimposed preeclampsia. It's chronic hypertension, like I had just mentioned a little bit ago, but the hypertension is also causing damage in the body, just like you would see with preeclampsia.
Wow, so many different types, so many different ways to get it too.
Absolutely.
So interesting. And what are some of the symptoms that women can recognize that they might be having high blood pressure during their pregnancy?
Yeah, that's a great question. Hypertension can look different depending on how it's presenting in the woman, but there are some very specific things that are very common with pregnant women that we look for. For example, a headache that won't go away. So you get this terrible headache, maybe you drink a glass of water, you go lay down, try to take a nap, or if your provider's okayed it, you go take some medication for the headache and it still won't go away. So this headache is something that's very common that we see with women who have hypertension. Women can experience changes in vision. They might get blurry vision. They might see spots. They might just develop very sudden changes in their vision. Pregnant women can experience severe pain in their upper abdomen. It's like heartburn, but it's like the most severe heartburn you've ever had, and Tums does nothing to touch it.
Oh, wow.
We can see sudden swelling in the face and hands, sudden rapid weight gain. More seriously, some women will have significant trouble breathing all of a sudden. Sometimes for some women, it's just that they don't feel good. And if a woman were ever to call the mother baby center, the labor and delivery center, and just say, you know, I feel really unwell, if we know that she has a history of high blood pressure, we're going to either advise her to call her provider or just come into the hospital to be seen so we can make sure she's okay.
Oh, nice. Is it safe to take high blood pressure medication during pregnancy?
Yes, blood pressure medication is absolutely safe during pregnancy and ultimately can be very effective in treating high blood pressure. There's medications, obviously not every medication is for every person. There's medications for blood pressure that aren't safe for pregnant women to take. So it's important to take only medication that your doctor is prescribing. Medications that are common that we prescribe to pregnant women are medications like Procardia, Labetalol, Hydralazine. These can all be safely taken during pregnancy when taken as directed. And if medication is needed to control blood pressure, your provider is going to prescribe the safe medication, safe dosage.
And ultimately, because women get very nervous about taking medication during pregnancy, if you feel nervous, you have any questions, we always want women to ask. We as healthcare providers want you to be a part of your care. We want you to make sure you understand why we're recommending certain treatments or recommending certain medications.
That's great to know because it definitely makes women be less nervous about maybe seeking help because they want to avoid medications. But if it's safe, then there's no need to be afraid.
Absolutely. And I think it's a very common fear for many of these things. And this feels very scary anyway. So I really feel like education in these cases, if you understand women do so much better, people in general, if something's going on with your health, you have that understanding, you're more likely to either feel comfortable with the plan or even be okay with treatments because you understand where they're coming from.
Exactly. And is there a way to prevent having high blood pressure in the pregnancy in the first place?
Well, some women are automatically more at risk for hypertension and preeclampsia. So really knowing your risk, seeking early prenatal care, this can be a huge help in preventing these conditions. And along with seeking early prenatal care, we know things like exercising, getting regular checkups from your primary care provider, eating a balanced diet, these are all a huge help. Additionally, no shock to anyone, smoking is not good for you.
Yep.
Smoking can have a huge effect on blood pressure. So quitting is recommended for everybody, not just the pregnant ladies.
For sure.
And if a pregnant woman is at risk for preeclampsia during her pregnancy, care providers usually recommend taking a low dose of aspirin daily to lower that risk. It's been shown to be very effective. Of course, you'd want to talk with your provider before starting any medication, but that is a very typical therapy that they will recommend.
That's great. That's a good way to prevent further issues.
Yeah.
And what about when women are breastfeeding? Is it okay to take high blood pressure medication during this time?
Absolutely. Breastfeeding is recommended. It's encouraged. We just recommend that if you are planning to breastfeed, you want to discuss this with your healthcare provider along with any concerns or questions that you have.
That's great. What about preeclampsia? How does it affect the mother and the baby?
Yeah, so like we talked about a little bit ago, it's really just thinking about how hard it is on the body, on mom's body, on baby's body. And really the big deal here is it can be very life-threatening if it's not treated.
Can you go over a little bit what are some of the risk factors for preeclampsia and what are some of the symptoms?
Yeah, absolutely. So preeclampsia, we know that women who have a history of preeclampsia, mamas who are pregnant for the very first time also, these are both women who are going to be at higher risk for preeclampsia. We know that women who have a history of high blood pressure, they've been diagnosed with chronic hypertension, gestational hypertension, or if they have a family history of preeclampsia, they're at more risk as well. We also see preeclampsia in women whose bodies are under more strain. So mamas who are carrying multiples, so twins, triplets, women who have diabetes, women who are obese, they become pregnant with in vitro fertilization, women with autoimmune disorders, so women who have lupus, for example, or women with chronic kidney conditions, they're a higher risk as well. Other risk factors that we're going to look at when we're looking at a mom's medical history is, has it been more than 10 years since you've had your last baby? Are you older than 35? At 35, this is not a sensitive term. We call it a geriatric pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But just at that point, at 35, women's bodies do have a little bit harder time coping with that. We also know that women who come from low-income households, Black women specifically, they face issues of racism in healthcare, social inequities. We know that these women are all additionally at high risk. So right now, scientists are working on a blood test that can identify women who are more likely to develop preeclampsia and pregnancy, and these tests have shown to have great accuracy. So if we find that these are a reliable indicator, that's just so exciting for what that could mean for helping identify these women early in pregnancy so we get care sooner and we get good treatment sooner. I think what's important to remember about these risks is ultimately, if you have risks, it's not a guarantee that you're going to have preeclampsia in pregnancy. But what is important to think about is if you have one of these risks, you have many of these risks, it means that we as healthcare providers want mothers to be aware. So if a mother knows that she has these risks, she might notice something she didn't notice before and she can advocate for herself and hopefully get help sooner than maybe she would have otherwise.
And JC, what are some of the causes of preeclampsia?
With preeclampsia, we know that it's caused by the placenta. So we call this a placental disorder. And early in pregnancy, when the placenta is developing, there are new blood vessels that are developing along the placenta that are growing to supply the placenta. So if it's supplying the placenta, we know it's supplying the baby, getting baby the oxygen and nutrients that it needs for pregnancy. So in women with preeclampsia, the vessels along the placenta, they don't really seem to develop or behave the way that we want them to. And this leads to problems with how blood's moving through the placenta. And this eventually causes later problems with blood pressure in mom.
Wow, that is so interesting.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And how do women know if they have preeclampsia?
The only way to be really sure is to talk to your provider. We're looking at specific things in your body, specific things that you're experiencing to diagnose you with preeclampsia. So the first thing healthcare providers are going to look at is your blood pressure. When a woman's blood pressure starts to increase, it's expected that unless we're taking steps to help control that blood pressure, it's going to get worse. 120 over 80, like I had said before, 120 over 80 or less, that's what we want to see. That's a sign that blood pressure is great. With high blood pressure, we'll see blood pressures like 130s over 80s that start turning into 140s over 90s. And that 140 over 90 is where we start thinking about preeclampsia, and we've got a very close eye on mom. We'll also see signs of other things that I mentioned before. So we might see protein in the urine, that severe headache that I talked about, really, really terrible stomach pain, changes in vision. Some women can have a new onset nausea and vomiting, and they can also have sudden swelling. And when I'm talking about swelling, this is more severe than the swelling that we expect in pregnancy, like a little bit in the feet or ankles. We will also mostly see it in the face and hand. That's a really alarming sign to us that something's happening. And swelling is really hard for moms to figure out, like, what's normal, what's concerning, because especially if you've never been pregnant, you're like, is this normal? I don't know. So what I will tell mom is if she's noticing any swelling, even if it's just in her ankles and feet, you want to take a finger and press down on where the swelling is. And the question is it leaving an indentation? If you see that indentation, it's something we call pitting edema, and that's something you want to talk to your provider about.
Oh, wow. So swelling should not leave that indentation.
It shouldn't. It should just go right back down. And that's the kind of swelling we want to see in pregnancy.
Oh, wow. That is so good to know. That's great advice. And how is preeclampsia managed?
When preeclampsia is diagnosed, it's going to be managed based on the woman's signs and symptoms. So sometimes the care provider is going to order medication to control blood pressure. When a pregnant woman's experiencing hypertension, it's very common that we'll order something called an NST. It's a non-stress test. And we order that after 28 weeks of pregnancy. The test shows us if the baby's experiencing stress. So we'll set women up with reoccurring appointments for the NSTs. We bring her into the hospital. We're going to check her blood pressure. We might check the protein, the urine for protein. And then we're also looking at what the baby's heart rate is doing, the heart rate pattern. And if we see that mom's blood pressure is starting to get higher, we see protein in the urine, or we see signs that the baby's stressed, that's when we're potentially going to talk about induction. And because, which can be scary for a lot of moms. So another thought, if a mom is in a situation where she has to get induced, it's earlier than she expects, it's okay to be a little sad about that. It's okay to ask questions, because that's kind of a difficult thing to broach. And the reason we consider induction is because, as I mentioned before, because preeclampsia is essentially a placental disorder, we know that delivering her is, in a sense, going to cure her of the preeclampsia. And then depending on how severe the preeclampsia is during labor, there are medications that we might prescribe to help prevent seizures.
Oh, wow. That's very serious. But I'm glad that there's ways to manage it or, like, prevent it from getting worse.
Absolutely. As long as we stay on top of it.
For sure. And then what happens after birth once the baby is born? Does preeclampsia keep happening, or, as you mentioned, is it cured?
So for most women, what's great is after they deliver, though we do keep looking at their blood pressures, we're going to make sure everything's stable. Most women do great after their preeclampsia starts to go away. There are, however, some very rare cases for reasons that we don't entirely understand. Some women can experience preeclampsia after giving birth. This is what we consider a serious medical condition. It's called postpartum preeclampsia. And if this occurs, we're going to see it usually within 48 hours after birth, but really it can happen for up to 6 weeks after delivery.
And the symptoms of postpartum preeclampsia are exactly the same things as you would expect to see with preeclampsia. So the recommendation, if you're no longer in the hospital, you've delivered, you've been discharged home, and you start feeling any of these signs or symptoms, you want to make sure you're calling the doctor. Or if you feel poorly enough, it's even worth it to call 911 if you're having the symptoms. Mm-hmm. You might need emergency medical care, so really getting that care sooner rather than later mm-hmm. is highly recommended. When women deliver at Enloe, I brought this so you could see it. We give them this handout. It's a printed sheet of signs and symptoms that can be dangerous in the postpartum period. So along with a few other signs and symptoms we want women to be seen for, that has the symptoms of preeclampsia, like severe headaches, pain in the chest, shortness of breath. We even have seizure listed on there. The sheet of paper also indicates toward the middle that if a woman seeks help for any of these signs or symptoms, she needs to tell her healthcare providers that she recently gave birth. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but it's super important to mention that because that's not always the first thing on your mind. You're not feeling great. You're not thinking about the fact you just had a baby. But these concerning signs and symptoms, if you were recently pregnant, mean very, very different things.
Wow, that is key. It is something really big that your body just went through. So it's important to mention. And JC, is there anything else that you would like to add that I didn't ask you?
Just that it's really important. I just want to reemphasize how important it is for women to get very early, consistent prenatal care. We want moms, we want babies to be as healthy as possible, and we want the care to be fine-tuned for what they need. This is anecdotal, but I have found, and a lot of women I work with, we find that women tend to defer care. They convince themselves that the symptoms aren't really a big deal, that they're just going to go away. But up at the hospital, we are always so happy when a woman comes in to get checked out and we get to say, hey, no, you're fine. Everything's great. It's so much better to come in and be seen and be told you're doing great than not come into the hospital and have more severe consequences occur because of that. And then just remembering to let your provider know if you do seek care postpartum that you did just deliver. And then finally, I know that this is a very played out sentiment, but it's really no less true. There are no stupid questions. If you're having issues with blood pressure, ask questions. If you are anxious, if you're feeling really nervous about care, you're very scared about what's happening, or you're just curious, it's your body. You should be very aware of what's going on. You should be part of that care. And ultimately, the doctors, the midwives, the nurses, we're just here to support women and help them be well.
That's great. Very well put. It's better to be safe than sorry, always.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here today, JC.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you'd like to listen to more Health Matters conversations, visit www.enloe.org/podcast. See you next time on Health Matters.
If you have a story you would like to share, let us know. Email us at healthmatters@enloe.org. Let us know your thoughts about our podcast and what you want us to explore. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to Health Matters. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, or share it with someone who might benefit from the information. Health Matters is a production of Enloe Medical Center.